This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, a very good morning to you. This is Tuesday, 22nd of January 2019. You're with The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with Joyce Goh and Sharad Zabdullah. Welcome back to work, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was a long weekend. What did you guys do?
Well, I had an outdoorish weekend, I'd say. Yeah. So I had a nice game of football with some friends, some chaps from my alumni, and then took the kids out to the Lake Garden.
Great.
So, yeah,
fantastic.
They had a good
Sounds
run around.
Fun.
Yeah, it was. How about you, Joyce?
We went to visit some family in Singapore, short visit, and then caught up some schoolmates and also brought the kids out to the zoo. So,
That the Singapore Zoo is really impressive.
Yeah, it's quite fun. Once,
They're open day and night as well, aren't they?
Yeah, the night zoo is especially very appealing as well.
The night safari, yeah. We did the day one because my kid sleeps quite early.
I can relate to that.
What about yourself, Julian?
Oh, I just binged on Netflix over the weekend.
God, that is the best.
Yeah, actually.
Watch Fire. You should catch that if you guys have not done so. It's very cringe-worthy, but very entertaining.
Is it a series or is it a movie?
I think it's a movie. Just one. It's a movie.
Mm. Okay, all right. Well, that's
about,
doable then.
How the organizers of a music festival turned it from one of the most sought-after music festival to a total disaster.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and that's not even spoiling it, so catch it.
Okay.
Catch it if
you
can.
I have to look for some time, but yeah, definitely. Everyone's talking about it.
It's what not to do if you're organizing something. Okay, as usual, during the 6 a.m. hour, we are going to discuss interesting stuff. So what have we got lined up, guys?
Well, what's in the name? According to Shakespeare, a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet, right? But to some, a name means a lot. So we're going to be discussing that.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Yep, that's great. Okay, Julian. So you know that a community is not made of just people who work in, you know, white collar jobs and technocrats, and they should, you know, affordable home is an issue that resonates very well here in Malaysia, and they should be an affordable home, be it buying or be it renting. So in Seattle, Microsoft is contributing back to its community by supporting development of affordable homes there. So the question we'll be discussing this morning is, should companies take responsibility in building sustainable community that they operate in?
And also coming up next is, in the same vein, Facebook does a bit of censorship. So that's coming up next.
Ding, ding.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Wake Up by Arcade Fire. And thanks so much for waking up and joining us this morning, 6:08 in the morning. You're with Julian, Joyce, as well as Sharitz. Now, I'm sure many of you have received WhatsApp messages with news in which you doubt the veracity of that source. And Facebook, who's the owner of WhatsApp, is apparently very worried about WhatsApp's status as a rumor-mongering platform. So they're doing something about it. They're limiting to 5 people per message, the number of people you can forward to. And, you know, when I first started using social media, which is like yonks ago, I thought that platforms like Facebook, there's something where you can emulate a face-to-face exchange, right? But just using technology to do that. But it's not the same, is it?
It's not. It's
yeah,
not.
No, it's not.
Clearly, I mean...
you could do a lot more damage with technology.
Yeah,
either good or damaged.
It seems to be what people are talking about these days. How we're feeling a bit disconnected, and I used to meet my friends more often than I do now. I think I think what some of the reason besides having a family, I attribute it to social media, just being so overly informed, I'd say.
Correct.
But it's not the same though. I'm meeting up with friends and being on a WhatsApp group. It's just not the same. Some of us, my friends and I, we still try to meet up every other weekend if we can. But with coming back to this Facebook WhatsApp news that we have, they're trying to limit people from forwarding misinformation or fake news through limiting the number of times you can forward a WhatsApp message. But do you think that will curb misinformation and fake news, though, the spread of fake news? Or do you think what's important is also education and to teach people when it comes to receiving kind of this kind of information to verify first before you forward? I mean, I've been guilty of forwarding fake information before, and that part is like when you find out, like, oh, then you kind of backtrack and send to everyone and say, sorry guys, this is wrong, but actually I should have just verified it first. You know what I mean? Before sending it out.
Right. Spot on, Joyce. I think it's tough about misinformation. I mean, we don't know how to exactly curb it. But I think this move from WhatsApp would definitely make it a bit harder for people to spread misinformation like wildfire. Well, yeah.
Five could be... Five times five.
No, when I say harder, it'll definitely take a lot more effort. I mean, rather than just clicking. So you probably have to repeat the same, you know, the same action over and over again, copy and paste. You know, one thing I look forward to is probably those spam messages that I get from, you know, people that I don't communicate that often. Yeah.
You could just block them. Yeah, that's what I do. I just like outright block people who spam too much.
I'm so scared of Julian right now.
Just to note, Sharitz and Joyce, I block you guys. We spam too many.
You must preserve the sanctity of the WhatsApp space, you know, because WhatsApp should be used for serious messages and valuable exchanges between people. But if you abuse a platform by sending, you know, rumors or fake news or just pure time wasting even of real news, right? But considered spam, I think it's an abuse of that position. But I guess that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the responsibility that has been taken on by a social media platform and a big one, no less, Facebook,
that's right.
to Definitely. Use their position to try to do something about rumor mongering.
Mm. And yeah, I think this solution,
I don't know whether it works actually.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm quite sure a tech company like WhatsApp, you know, I'm sure that they're made up of a bunch of very intelligent and smart people over there. They've run their statistics like in billions of datas and numbers. I'm sure the decision that they've made to limit the number of WhatsApp is probably derived from there. They must think. I mean, it may not curb the problem entirely, but perhaps just reducing the numbers.
Yeah, and you know, Facebook, they own Instagram as well, and then of course Facebook and WhatsApp, but they chose WhatsApp. So it's quite obvious, I mean, between us as well, that when it comes to the spread of fake news, it happens a lot more on WhatsApp than the other platforms. I
guess because it's so easy. Yeah, it's a weapon of kind of a weapon of mass destruction, right? and you know, one of the greatest books that I've read in 2018 or 2017 is Homo Sapiens: A Brief History of Time by Yuval Noah Harari. He's an Israeli writer, and basically he says that why human beings have been able to evolve so much more powerful than other species is the fact that we can create stories and we can make people believe in those stories and lead packs of more than 150. And when you have that kind of thing, you can either lead the world or destroy it. So I think this topic will continue. We have a discussion about Microsoft coming up after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. That's Drive-In by The Kings, BFM 89.9. Thanks for joining us. I'm Julian, together with Joyce and Sharitz. And if you have an opinion of anything or you want to say anything to us, do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We'd love to hear from you about what we are talking about. Now, guys, in Malaysia, affordable housing is something that we talk about a lot. But in Seattle, however, Microsoft, which is another tech giant like Facebook, is trying to give back to society by pledging about $500 million to support affordable housing in the Seattle area. The company has said that it will earmark about $475 million to fund the construction of these houses and use about $25 million to fund grants to address homelessness. So is this a CSR at its best?
I believe so. It looks $500 million is that's a lot of money.
not to Microsoft.
But you know, we're familiar with the figure $600 million. So $500 million is a lot of money. So we can definitely appreciate that.
What's that again? The $600 million?
600 million is the figure where Goldman Sachs got.
Oh, that one. That commission. Okay. That's what it reminds me.
Yeah, thank you. I can understand. Tuesday morning. Anyway, look, what makes a community is not just those technocrats, right? It's not those white-collar jobs or CEOs. I mean, it's the teachers and everything. People who's going to run the restaurants and people who's going to run the laundry shop. These people, I mean, so basically what's in this article is that Seattle is building up, is making up all these jobs for this community, but there's just not enough affordable housing. So, yeah, so this is this their way of giving back to the community. So it, I think it's something that companies should emulate.
I think it's good that Microsoft is taking responsibility and recognizing the fact that they, you know, there is a housing problem and that could be due to themselves because of what they have done, right? Because in Seattle, in the area where Microsoft is based, they employ some 50,000 people, and I think the median home prices soared. Like, I think if you look at the article, it's right. About 96% from 2011 to 2011 and 2018. So it went up so much when household income only rose 34%. So the houses, home prices soared 96%, income only rose 34%. So you can see the differences. And I think that has kind of caused a lot of, like Sharitz was saying, you know, the community, school teachers, nurses, first responders, all these people to move out of the community because it was just getting too expensive to live there.
Yeah, that's right. Seattle, which is the home to Microsoft as well as the other tech giant Amazon, and also Starbucks, right? Starbucks, not a tech company, but Starbucks actually started there as a small little cafe. It was taken over and turned into a giant. I guess when you have an exodus of tech people going into an area, other places like the Bay Area in San Francisco as well, which is, you know, where the Silicon Valley is, and to a lesser extent, maybe some places in New York as well, this will drive up property prices. And what Microsoft is doing is, I don't know whether they're selling these homes or they're actually just opening up its doors to allow homeless people to stay in. But nevertheless, I think it should be a very good effort. And I'm an advocate of renting. If you can't afford it, if you rent. But if someone does the charity of allowing you to stay for free, especially if you're homeless, then that's not a bad idea.
I think the 500 over million US dollars is to fund construction loans for affordable housing. So that's what the funds are going into. Another 25 million, it's to fund grants to address homelessness.
Yeah. And excuse me. And but one thing I do like this move coming from Microsoft is that, you know, the government, normally they're very good at highlighting issues. They organize a lot of forums saying that we lack of this, we lack of that. But one thing they really lack of sometimes are funds. And I think that's what companies should do rather than, you know, just participate and just highlighting issues. One way is just, you know, to take the bulls by its horn and just, you know, whatever within your capacity to attack just contribute it. to attack it.
Especially when they are accused of paying themselves very high salaries and of the inequality that exists in this world. So related to this, Bill Gates gave all his money away and put it into the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So did Warren Buffett, and these guys are putting their money into doing a lot of research for social good. Now, it's coming up to the 6:30 news, and coming up after this, we'll talk about Bangsar South. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that's Incinerate by Sonic Youth. You're with Julian, Joyce, and Sharitz this morning, keeping you company in the 6 a.m. hour. And Bangsar South has officially reverted to its roots and renamed Kampung Kerinci, the original name that reflects the Indonesian community that settled there in the 1870s. Guys, is this a win for heritage?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm all for identity. I'm all for culture. I mean, that's for me, at least, notwithstanding
I agree with you.
Development, you know, taking place. I think, you know, what makes us us, there's always a question, you know, that we should always be asking ourselves. Really.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a great move. I think some people got upset because they, if you go online, you see some comments on how the name Bangsar South was wiped out. But I think the MP has come out to say that actually, excuse me, Bangsa South is still there. It's within the Kampong Gerinci name. The whole area has, you know, it's Kampong Gerinci, and then there's a part of it that's Bangsa South. So how this Bangsa South name came about, I mean, also that's like, was that from the developer? Was that from the people there? And was it a vote of majority, you know? Because if look at KL, every other place is Damansara.
Mm.
You know, it's just rebranded because, I don't know, is it because it sounds better or because the developers think that it would, the price of the property, would they can charge more because they just put the name Damansara there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think there was a healthy and huge dose of vanity there because, you know, Bangsa North, which is the actual Bangsa, is just across the road. And obviously, property prices there have gone up a lot over the years, and they wanted to apply that formula by just a simple tweak of the name. I don't know whether it has worked, but certainly many new developments have come up there. But to actually change the name of what amounts to be a living heritage in that area, I mean, that the residents, the original descendants of the residents there, still exist there today.
Mm.
And I think it's apt to rename it back to Kampong Gerinci. I totally support that. But the MP, Fahmi Fazil, has also come up with a list of, you know, at least 10 goals, missions that he has for the place, including the construction of 3 arches or sculptures to mark the entrance into Kampong Gerinci, among other things, among the other good things that he's doing there. But the arches, I don't know about that.
Well, again, you know, it's just about uplifting a place. It's just about upgrading a place. You know, we need more of those public spaces where people can hang out or where people can sort of sort of attach themselves to an identity. And I mean, we've seen a lot of those prominent places. It's good for tourism as well. I mean, I don't know.
Really?
I mean,
the arches?
But arches? Not. I mean, I see where you're going with Shared, right. Swift, maybe a park or you know, somewhere where people can go hang out. There's an actual venue to go to. But this one is arches.
Bricks and
is it necessary,
something,
right?
You could give the money back to community and plow them back into some of the other courses.
Mm. Right, yeah. But just put on your business hat for a second. You know, those arches becomes like a center point. Eventually, there could be markets over there. You know, something very cultural. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud.
Under
but hey,
arches.
You know, I can't foresee the future. But one thing I do like about this article is about emphasizing the word kampong and how it's been badly associated with the sort of poor sort of poor mentality and so forth.
The branding.
The branding of kampong. So, yeah. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the case, really. Kampong is, you know, if you look at Japan, they live in kampong houses, but look at that place. It's clean and it's, you know, they're forward thinking. And something that we should emulate as well. I mean, kampong should be retained, but it's just
mentality kampong thing. Kampong is a village, and it's more a community. Is beyond the physical structures there. It can be as a place that's very, very pleasant to be in. But I think most importantly, it's that community that is there, that has historically been there for a long time. The other kampong that's going to be redeveloped is Kampong Baru in KL, right? Big plans for that kampong there. And I hope they retain
the name,
Kampong Baru. So there you go. Kampong Gerinci has reverted back from its original to its original name, Kampong Gerinci, from Bangsa South. Kudos to Fahmi Fazil for doing that. Coming up next, we'll discuss Davos 2019, which starts today, BFM 89.9. Ruby Tuesday by the Rolling Stones, BFM 89.9. Thanks for joining us at this 6 a.m. hour. I'm Julian, together with Joyce and Sharit. Now, Davos 2019 is upon us. This is a summit where leaders, heads of state, and very, very rich people put on their suits to come together to talk about how to solve the world's biggest problems. The theme of this year's meeting is Globalization 4.0, Shaping a Global Architecture in the Age of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. In short, how do we make globalization work for everyone, not just the few? And this is coming amid the trade tensions between US and China. So is Davos trying to send them a message?
Yeah, well, it seems like it. But at the same time, what's odd is that despite it being a place gathering all these world leaders, a lot of those prominent world leaders are not present, apparently. So apparently there's an article that says people like Theresa May is not there.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, for obvious reasons, that's right. And then there's also the Emmanuel Macron, the French president, and also Justin Trudeau. So they've all got issues back home. So I think they've been too busy for World Economic Forum.
It's like,
apparently,
take care of your, clean up
own
your
backyard
home
first.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I wonder if this actually works, you know, for all these leaders and all this country leaders and business leaders to come together to have a conversation or have many conversations about issues relating to their countries and globalization, whether or not after that, is there an impact? Do they actually follow on, right?
No.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't think these very rich people understand the world's problems.
Yeah, and also that trend where everybody, you know, a lot of countries are now turning quite nationalistic. I mean, Trump, one example, he's very American-centric now. I think he's trying to isolate America from the rest of the world. And I think even Britain. I mean, again, the title itself is really, like you said, it's really trying to solve some of this.
Yeah, problem. That's right. I think you know, over the years we know of a few problems that stand out globally. For example, poverty, income inequality around the world, as well as climate change. And I don't think that policy over the past few years have really nudged the needle in terms of solving this problem. As you say, Sharitz, you know, this populism problem exists in each and every country. And for leaders to think beyond that and think on a global scale is something of a challenge to them.
Yeah. And also, I guess, looking at the list of leaders, as Sharitz, you mentioned, some of the global leaders who will be missing Davos. But let's look at our local leaders who will be there from Malaysia. Some of them include, well, Michelle Yeoh is going. And then in the list as well, we have the president and CEO of Petronas, Wan Zulkifli, as well as Tengku Zafrul from CIMB Bank, and also the Minister of International Trade and Industry of Malaysia. That's Daryl Laking. He's also going to be there. There's quite a list of
reps. So we're talking about solving the world's problems, right? Yesterday, I saw for free on YouTube this show about toilets, right? And how our preoccupation with health and sanitation has led us to the development of toilets till today. And, you know, just to cut a long story short, somebody like Bill Gates, we talked about how Microsoft is developing homes for the homeless. And basically, Microsoft is contributing money to put in sanitation in the form of very cheap toilets in third world countries, right? And these toilets cost something like $50 to put in there. Now, these are the kind of things that would have impact for that local community.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not sure if a bunch of people in their suits coming together will actually do anything and push the needle in contributing to the world's problems.
Yeah, and I wonder what company in Malaysia would like to take up that challenge of upgrading our toilets here in the country.
Okay, and on that note, we're coming up to the 7 a.m. news, and this is Do You Realize by The Flaming Lips, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.